that song until you're holding a bawling, screaming 2-year-old while you're singing it. So that is new meaning for me while singing that song. It's good to see you here this morning. Good to worship our God, and I hope that you're encouraged by being here. And I hope that as we turn our attention to God's Word and as we try to make some points that I hope will be helpful to us, I hope that you're built up to serve your Lord better today and every day. I'd like to talk today about the idea of making personal application to ourselves. Have you ever been reading your Bible, and I hope that you have, reading or studying your Bible, and you know, you're going through and you're reading, and all of a sudden you run across a text that just makes you very literally scratch your head and wonder, what on earth is this talking about? What am I supposed to get out of this text here? You know, what is going on here, and how on earth does God expect me to apply this to my life? This happens a lot, I think, when we start off in our, maybe you have a yearly Bible reading program or something like that, and you read through Genesis, and you're doing fine, and then you hit about halfway through the book of Exodus, and you start reading all of the tedious laws that go along with the law of Moses, and you stop yourself and you say, why am I reading this? How does this apply to my life? For instance, in Exodus chapter 25, verses 23 through 30, there's a text in God's Word that describes how the children of Israel were to create a table for showbread. You say, well, what on earth are we supposed to apply to our lives from these instructions to build this table of showbread? I think we find similar kinds of difficulties when we run into historical sections. We tend to like to read historical sections more because they're interesting and because they keep our attention and things like that. But I think there's there's still a hard, it's hard to make application from some of those stories. Some of them are very easy. But you know, you run into 2 Kings chapter 13, verses 14 through 20, where we find the account of the death of Elijah, or you know, that great scene, I say his death, where he's taken up in the whirlwind. And you say, well, that's a fun scene. You know, he's carried up in a chariot, and there's a fire and everything like that. But what does it mean for my life? How do I apply it to me? Of course, this isn't just an Old Testament problem either. You know, you read in the book of Acts, at the end of the book of Acts, about Paul's imprisonment, and you might stop and say, well, that's interesting historically. We see how that the story gets us there, but what are we to gain from that? What is Paul's imprisonment? How do I apply that to my life? How does it impact my life? And you look at these texts and all of the other texts that we might be able to use as illustrations for this kind of a thing, and you say, well, all of these texts are a part of God's inspired Word. But it's not always clear how texts like these should be applied to our lives. It sure would be easier if texts like these came with ready-made applications. In fact, you can buy study Bibles where people have done this kind of thing. I don't always recommend those kinds of things because I think the applications are not always what the text intends. But wouldn't it be great if God said, here's the story of the table of showbread, and then at the end he just added a little section, oh, by the way, these are some things that you should notice and apply to your life because of this. Wouldn't that be great? And sometimes God almost does that in his Bible. Sometimes he does lay out application pretty specifically, but certainly not always, and certainly it seems in the text that we need the most, he doesn't do that for us. And so we may be inclined to just sort of stay away from these hard texts, stay away from these texts that don't immediately present application to us. And let me suggest to you, if that is your inclination, if that's your solution to the problem, I don't know how this text applies to my life, so I'm just going to avoid it. I'm going to go to an easier book. I'm going to go talk about the parables of Jesus because those are easy to apply because Jesus often lays out the application for us. If that's your mode of operation when it comes to Bible study, let me mention to you this, that you are missing out on a vast array of wonderful Bible teaching that you need to have in your life. The answer is not to avoid these texts. The answer is to learn to make personal application. The answer is to learn how to apply these texts. And I'm under no delusion that this lesson is going to be the pinnacle of all kinds of lessons like this, and that you're going to walk out of this and you're going to know exactly what the table of showbread, how to apply that to your life. That's not my goal here today. But I do want to make some points about this concept of making personal application to our lives and see what we can glean from God's Word to that end. But I feel like I need to make at least one point as we get started here. A point that if we can't agree on this, then there's really little value in us moving forward and talking about application at all. But I want to make this point abundantly clear as we get started, that God's word is applicable. That is to say, God's word is designed to be, and God's word begs to be applied to our lives, to be put into our lives in a meaningful way so that we can live them out. Before we ever talk about making application, we need to acknowledge the fact that God's word is applicable. I'm reminded, of course, of 2 Timothy chapter 3, a text that we're probably well acquainted with by this point. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, Paul says that all scripture is inspired by God, or all scripture is breathed out by God, and it is profitable. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Paul explains that the Bible is inspired by God, and it's good for us because it teaches us, it instructs us in the way that we should go. It convicts us of error that might be in our life. It corrects us. It puts us on the straight path that we ought to be on. And it disciplines us. It makes us into disciplined people. When we allow it to, the Bible makes us everything we need to be in God's eyes. It makes us complete. Or as the New American Standard says, adequate for God. God's word is designed to be applicable. That's how God intended it to be read, so that we would read it and not just say, oh yeah, that's an interesting story. Oh, that's an interesting law there about the showbread. But that we would read those and say, how does this teach me? How does it correct me? How does this make me more like the God who created me? And the Bible's design, this design of the Bible to be applied, this is seen in several places. Whereas I said a moment ago, the Bible begs us to apply it. I think about passages like Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, where we have that list of things that Paul lays out there, the fruit of the Spirit. And he says that these fruits need to come out of your life. There is an easy list of things. There's an easy text to apply. If you do not have these fruits, you need to get them. Paul is begging us to apply this to our lives. We see another similar list in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 9, where Peter says, you start with your faith and you add to your faith various qualities, self-control, brotherly love, kindness, gentleness, all of these kinds of things. You add them to your life. These kinds of lists of qualities are intended, they are begging us to apply them, to add them to our lives. And of course, it would be nice if every text were so easy to apply as these are. You know, it says do this, so I'm going to apply that to my life and I'm going to do that. And even though texts aren't always like that, there's no doubt that the Bible is begging us to apply it to our lives. Over in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount talks about true obedience and what it means to live out the instructions of God. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. It's not simply those who read and understand the Bible, it's those who read and understand and put it into action and apply it to their lives. We have to do it. We have to apply it. It's begging us to apply it to our lives. So, if we can agree on nothing else this morning, hopefully we can agree on this. God's word is designed for application. It is designed to be lived out in the lives of God's creation. It is an applicable book. If we do not apply the Bible to our lives, we're doing it wrong. If you read your Bible and you study it, but you never make any changes in your life, you're reading your Bible wrong. You're studying your Bible wrong. We're missing the whole point. In James chapter 1, verses 23 and 24, James talks about the man who beholds himself in the mirror and sees something that needs to change and then turns around and walks away. He says, that's what we do when we come to God's word and we look at ourselves in God's word and we see that we don't measure up, but we don't change who we are. Don't look at God's word and walk away. Look at it and change who you are. That's the goal of Bible study. That's the goal of sermons like these. To change who we are, to be different, to be better. The Bible is first and foremost an applicable book, but it is also imperative that we learn to apply it. But here's the difficult thing, right? You say, well, I know the Bible is meant to be applied, but the fact is, to apply God's word is really, really hard. It's hard to do. It's easy to listen to preachers make applications to our lives when we listen to sermons, right? In fact, I think that this is probably what people like to hear more than anything in sermons. As a preacher, I've tried over the few years I've been doing this, I've tried to uncover the secret to preaching a great sermon. And people have written books on this and all kinds of things. And there's certain things that preachers do that are captivating and are good. And there are certain things that they do that just really aren't, that are kind of, make you just kind of tune out and go to sleep. But one of the things I've come to conclude about good preaching, good sermons, is that people love application. They love it. You may not know it, but you love application. You can't wait till I get to the part in my sermon where I say, now this is what you need to do. Now sometimes application is really challenging and it's hard and maybe we don't like that kind of application. But if given the choice to sit through a 20-minute exegesis of a biblical text and I just give you all the Greek words and all the Hebrew words and say, this is what this text means, versus sitting through a 45-minute lesson full of illustrations and applications and how it applies to your life, you will always take the 45-minute lesson on application. Always. Because people love that. It's easy to listen to. It's easy to listen to the application and the illustrations and how these things apply to our lives. We long for that application. Because that's the part of the sermon where I think we hope to find some, maybe a quick scheme to be better people, where we hope to find some nugget to help us improve our lives. To be frank, I find making applications in my preaching incredibly challenging. I am not good at that. I'm not good at listing off all the ways that a text applies to every life. Sure, I can offer a few suggestions, but let me just lay this out here for you. That's a hard skill for a preacher to learn. Because there is no way that I could sit here in front of an audience of 50 or 60 or 70 people, or however many people are here today, there's no way that I could sit here and make application that is applicable for every single person here. I'm going to leave someone out. I can't do that. I can present you the Word of God. I can show you some ways that it can be applied, but application sure is easy when somebody's telling you what to apply to your life. It's much harder when you have to make personal application. When you have to say, here's a biblical text, how do I get this to be a part of my life? How do I need to apply this text to my life? It's easy to listen to other people talk about it. It's a lot harder to do it yourself. Here's another thing that's easy about application. It's easy to make application for other people. Have you ever noticed that? How easy it is to look across the auditorium and say, I'm so glad old brother or sister so-and-so is here to hear this lesson because, man, did they need it. That's easy. It's easy to make application for other people. For whatever reason, we like to act like experts on what other people need in their lives. But let me be clear. Identifying how a brother or sister sitting across the room needs to apply a lesson does absolutely nothing to help you apply the lesson to your life. You can apply this lesson, any of my lessons, any of your Bible studies, any of your Bible readings. You can apply any of that to everybody else in the church, and it will not do a thing to make you a better Christian. It won't do a thing. You have to apply it to yourself. But making personal application of God's word is hard. It's really, really hard. Preachers may say good and applicable things from time to time, and every once in a while I may stumble upon a good application. You say, that was what I needed. And I'm thankful if that happens. But a preacher will never know exactly what's going on in your life. Finger pointing may help you draw applications from the text. You may be able to say, oh, I see how brother so-and-so needed this passage today. But it'll never make you a better Christian. What I have to do is I have to focus inwardly And I have to determine how to apply each text of Scripture to my life, not to other people's lives. And that's hard. It's hard work. Because it requires things of me that are uncomfortable. It requires that I have to be brutally honest with myself. It requires that I have to identify my strengths and my weaknesses. It requires that I have to be willing to actually make a change in my life. It requires an intense desire on my part to live more like Christ every single day. If I don't have those things, it doesn't matter what Bible text I read, I'm not going to apply it to my life. So the question is, how can we make application? How can we go about making personal application? How can we do this hard work? Again, I don't think I have all the answers to this. And certainly there's an aspect of this that it comes with growth and maturity. As we grow and as we mature and as we read and study God's word more and more, we become more adept at finding the application to our lives, and we become more adept at understanding our own strengths and weaknesses and what we need. But what I want to do here with the remaining time I have is offer four suggestions, four steps. This is not like a four-step program that will get you exactly what you've always wanted, but it's four steps that we need to take if we're going to make personal application in our lives. First thing we need to do is we have to study God's Word. We have to study the Bible. You cannot apply what you do not know. And let me mention this. If you think that reading the Bible, just sitting down, opening up, reading a verse or two, closing it back up, is going to make you understand what you need to do to apply that text to your life, you're fooling yourself. I do not want to discourage anyone from pulling out their Bible, flopping it open, and reading a few verses. That is good. But that is not enough to truly impact us, to truly get us to the point where we understand what kind of application we need to take from those texts. Over in the book of 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul makes a statement about how we ought to study our Bibles. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, Paul says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." Paul tells us that we need to be people who are diligent in how we handle God's Word. By the way, that implies that we are handling God's Word. We have to. You have to actually open it, and you have to actually read it and consider it at more than just a surface level. When I talk about study here, when I say we have to study the Bible, again, I don't mean simply the concept of reading a passage in just a cursory way or making sort of passive observations about the text. There's a time for those activities, and those activities are good and they're worthwhile. But if we're really going to apply a text to our life, we have to go deeper than just the surface level of a text. Some people think that deep study, deep Bible study and practical application are like two different things. Like you can apply the Bible to your life, but then if you want to, you can kind of have deep studies and really get into the deep meanings and the language and all of that stuff. Those aren't two different things. Two sides to the same coin. See, deep study leads to personal application. Personal application is the fruit of a devotion to studying God's Word deeply. If you just passively read God's Word a couple of times, you know, a week, or maybe you start a Bible reading program and you drop it like, you know, as soon as things get hard, you're never going to find the application that you really need in God's Word. Because practical application comes out of a deep study of God's Word. We have to open God's Word. We have to read it. We have to study it deeply because we cannot apply to our lives what we do not know. But there's a second thing that I would suggest that we need to be doing. If we really want to make personal application, it's not just enough to study the Bible. We need to be people who meditate on God's Word. And I highlight this point because I think we ignore it a lot of times as part of our Bible study. We live in such an instant gratification, fast-paced society that we rarely, if ever, stop to internalize anything, let alone God's Word, right? Yeah, I mean, if we, you know, you watch TV nowadays, and I don't know if this is your case as well, or if maybe this is a generation thing, but we've streamed certain TV shows on through Netflix and Hulu and what have you, and you don't hardly get done with one episode before the next one comes on, and you've already forgot about what happened, and, you know, and you just keep ingesting more and more and more. Sometimes I think we do that with our Bible study. Sometimes I think we do that. Not in the good sense that we inundate ourselves too much with God's Word. That would be a really good thing. But we never stop to let God's Word actually settle in our minds and in our hearts. We read a passage here, we go over there, we read a passage, we go over here, we read a passage, but we never stop and think about what is this passage saying and how do I apply it to my life? The 119th Psalm in verse 97, the psalmist said that God's Word was his meditation all the day. There wasn't a moment that went by that he was not thinking about God's Word. Passive studying. That is, when you come into the building and you sit through a Bible class for 40 minutes and you're just sort of in and out, and you're not really thinking about it, you're not really engaging either verbally or just in your mind, you're not thinking about what's going on. But passively sitting through a lesson, a sermon like this, if you're just sitting there and you think, I've just got to mark this off my list and I can get on with my day, that will never be enough to internalize the Word of God. It never will. People have gone to church for 50, 60, 70 years, listening to sermon after sermon after sermon, and it's never penetrated their heart because they've never meditated on the Word. They've never let it in. We must constantly be thinking about God's Word. And yes, we should even take time in our day to pause, turn distractions off, and just think about what it means for our lives. We have to study God's Word. We have to meditate on God's Word. Third, we have to examine ourselves. If we're going to apply anything to our life, if we're ever going to make personal application, we have to examine ourselves, right? The first two steps we do, and we can apply things to anybody. We can point the finger across the room and say, well, I studied my Bible, and I thought about what it meant, and guess what? It means that so-and-so needed to hear that lesson, and this is really good for them. But if we're actually going to make personal application, we have to examine ourselves, not the lives of other people. And this is what really makes personal application hard, isn't it? It's one thing to look at what God says. It's one thing to study it and see God says this. God says, build a table of showbread. He told the Israelites to build a table of showbread. You say, well, that's what God says. But it's another thing entirely to compare my life to that standard and consider honestly whether I measure up appropriately. That's a hard thing. To examine myself and see if I measure up to the standard that God has set down in His Word. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, Paul says, test yourselves. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Look into your own life and see if you are really measuring up against God's Word like you ought to be. We need to be constantly doing that. By the way, this type of evaluation can only be performed by one person. There's only one person who can evaluate you like you need to for application purposes, and that's you. Nobody else can evaluate you to the same level that you can. No one else knows your inner thoughts and motives like you do. Nobody knows the struggles that you have like you do. That's why preachers can't speak to every single person in the audience, you know, what they need to apply to their lives. Only you can do that. That's something that you have to do for yourself, and it's a crucial step. If we don't examine ourselves, then we cannot apply God's Word appropriately in our lives. And then the fourth thing that we have to do, we have to study, we have to meditate, we have to examine ourselves, but we have to act. We have to. I think many of us know what the Bible says. And I think many of us know how to be good Christians in theory. We theorize about it. We know what God says. We know the instructions. We know the kind of life that God wants us to live. Many of us even theorize about the right applications to put in our lives. Well, we sit in Bible class and we talk about, well, how does this text apply to my life? Or we're reading our Bible and we say, well, how does this text apply to my life? And you say, well, I see that what this text means is that I need to do X, Y, and Z in my life. And we often make the right points. But it's not enough to theorize about application. It's not enough to kind of make this application off in some faraway land where we don't really ever intend to put it into our lives. It's not just enough to make the idea of application off. We have to make changes. We have to. That's what it means to make personal application. I want to go back to James. I referenced James a moment ago. We talked about that man who looks in the mirror. The man who looks into the perfect law of liberty, as he puts it, over in the book of James chapter 1. And I referenced a moment ago there in verse 23. James chapter 1 and verse 23, he says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he immediately forgot what kind of a person he was." But I want you to look at verse 25. He says, "One who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it." The one who looks at it and puts it into their life, the one who applies God's word, the one who abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Those who look in the mirror and make no changes gain nothing. Those who look into the mirror of God's word and make no application to their life gain nothing. But those who look into God's word, see weak areas in their life, and change, and say, "This is what I need to do differently," and they actually do it, they, James says, they will be blessed. If you're not making personal application from God's word, you need to be. God's word is designed to be applied, and it begs to be applied from beginning to end. It begs to be applied to each and every one of our lives. That's a daunting task. It's a difficult task because it requires us to open up ourselves in ways that we don't always want to be opened up. It requires us to be honest and examine ourselves in ways that we don't want to be honest and examine ourselves. But it can be done, and it must be done if we're to be God's people. So what is the application in all those hard texts, right? We haven't really answered that question. How do we apply those really, really hard texts? What should we get out of those law codes when Moses says, "I want you to build a table of showbread," or those historical accounts when we find Elijah's death or his being taken up into heaven? Or you know, what do we gain from Paul's imprisonment? What is the application there for us? I don't know what the application is. But here's what I do know. There is an application there. There is something there for our lives. And it's up to each and every one of us to find it, to get into God's word and to study it deeply. It's up for each and every one of us to meditate on it and sit and dwell on it and internalize God's word in that way. It's up to each and every one of us to examine ourselves and consider our weaknesses and where we fall short. And then finally, to put it into action when we find it. I hope that you will begin thinking more deeply about application, about putting things in your life. And I don't think that you weren't thinking about it before, but I hope that you make a point to really look for the application in text, even in those texts that maybe you didn't think there was any to be had. I hope that you begin applying God's word to your life right now, today. And I want you to know that if you need any help with that, if you'd like to sit down and study God's word, if you'd like somebody to think through a text with you, if you'd like to consider your own life and you need help in that area, we would love to have an opportunity to help you with that. If there's any way that we can help you with that, we stand ready right now to do that. If you need help studying God's word, if you need help coming to Christ, if you need to know what you need to do to come to Christ, whatever your spiritual needs are, of course, we're going to have an opportunity right now. We're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement. If you have needs, why don't you come as we do that?